Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
And welcome to a Wednesday edition of the show, ladies and gentlemen. I had to ask a couple of different people throughout the course of the day, what day is it? Dave, I think I even asked you, what day is it, right?
And
you
had it's Wednesday,
it's
right?
It is Wednesday. You know what? This is a big Wednesday because Sue Thomas is back in the building. She's
Hi.
Been gone for an entire week from Tuesday to Tuesday. You're finally back. We have Sue's News with Sue, which is unique. After having Andrew, Carl... then Andrew again, and I think Jane did a little, I don't know.
Oh, nice.
But
welcome
back.
Did you
have a nice respite?
Yeah, this was the first time, possibly ever, that I've not traveled on a week vacation.
So you just took the week off and you stayed here.
Took the week off. I swam. I went biking. I went on an e-bike for the first time that I'd like to discuss with you.
Because of those things, the electronic bike.
It's an electronic bike, Dave. And the thing is, you know, most cyclists think, you know what? That's cheaty, right?
Yeah.
That's the immediate first thought. It's kind of cheating, but the girls and I take a trip every 4 years, and we go on a biking trip, and the next one we want to do is very hilly, and the people who put this on say, you really ought to consider an e-bike because the gunners will spend their entire time getting up the hill and not see anything around them. You're going to miss like the entire point of the trip, which is
the
scenery.
The scenery, right.
And to travel and to like get it all in. And I thought, this is too cheaty. But my neighbor has purchased an e-bike. He has several of them. And he said, okay, Sue, let's put you on this thing and try it out.
So you finally tried it.
And I kind of liked it.
You know what? I've heard this from other people and people who are quote unquote serious cyclists that they have, because
Mark,
it basically, you still have to pedal and do things, but it can supplement the work.
Correct.
Right?
So what you could do is you can pedal along. You know, you may save yourself for the end. Like if you're out on a long ride, you think, well, I don't want to give it my all right now. If you're on one of those, you can just throw it all out there because you can. You know you'll have enough to get back because you can dink. And what it will do, there are some that can go four times your speed, and there are some that can go two, and this only goes double your speed. So when we came to a really big hill, I'm pedaling along, and he goes, all right, go for it. And I hit one, and that's 30%. And it doesn't feel like a moped.
You're still pedaling, though.
You're still pedaling. It feels like you suddenly have a tailwind. So you have...
Oh, that's nice.
And then if you can go to level two, which is 60%, you're like, And then you can hit turbo, which is double the amount that you're putting down.
Turbo, yes.
And you're like, but it's not too fast because it's only double. Now, if you were on a four times bike, I'm sure you're going four times what you could do. It'd be crazy.
Now, is the bike heavier than a normal bike?
Okay. This sucker weighed 32 pounds.
That's very
Mark.
Heavy.
Whoa.
Okay. Now, my road bike weighs under 15 pounds.
Same here. And this one, they say, that's the other thing. So if you decide, no, I don't want to use it, you can turn it off. It doesn't matter. You get a good workout on a really heavy bike.
Yeah. But if you want to cheat,
If you want to get up that hill at the end,
you can do it.
You can do it. So I've been waiting to talk to you about it. I kind of love it.
That's an interesting point because I shared this story before. The first time I ever got a road bike, and you know, I've sort of retired from cycling to a certain extent because I started playing golf. But years ago, I was in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's going well too.
No, that's terrible. So this guy who I used to work with, Phil Cianciola, he was one of my broadcast partners, brothers in broadcasting at WTMJ, and he was really into cycling, and he taught me. We have the Tour de France going on right now. I'm one of these guys who I record it, and I've been watching
Same
it.
Here.
And Mark Cavendish has been doing amazing, and all these things. Today's stage is a double climb on Mount Ventoux, and I can't wait to see it. But so I had a hybrid bike, and I put some slicks on, you know, not the knobby tires. That's how I started riding longer distances. But then I got my first Trek road bike. So I go up to Door County, Wisconsin, which I mentioned before. A lot of St. Louis people go. And it's a peninsula that's up there. You have Lake Michigan on one side, the Bay of Green Bay on the other. And I don't know if it's maybe 10 miles across, maybe even more. So I left from where we stay. We usually stay on the Lake Michigan side. I'm very excited. I have my little odometer on there. It's going to tell me how far I go, how fast I'm going.
Very exciting.
And I am just killing it. I'm like, I'm going 22, 23, 24. I'm like, what in the world? These road bike things are unbelievable. I can't believe I was sitting
22.
On a hybrid. Yeah, well, okay. This was when I could go a lot faster than that. I just want to make it clear. But at this point, I'm thinking.
Yeah, but that's a lot. Like, that's a lot to me. That would be e-bike speed to me.
Well, okay. But my point is then I got to the other side of the peninsula and I turned around. And I barely got to 8 miles an hour. Now, do you understand
headwind.
What? Yes. I had no concept of what a wind. So
oh,
I had a tailwind
brutal.
The whole way. Yes. But I didn't know. I honestly got. I had no idea.
Mark.
And then I turned around. To your point on the e-bike, I did not know. And by the way, there was no cell service. I didn't know if I was going to make it back. That's
Mark.
How bad this was.
Yes. That And that's what I'm telling you. And that apparently is the benefit. So it's just kind of like a nice tail breeze, tailwind behind you when you need it. And if you were going into the wind, it would kind of even it out.
Yeah, it can. Well, it
but
can
save
your
ass. But you're
still
pedaling. So really
I see the merit.
Yes.
I see the merit.
Can I ask a dumb
sure.
question about
yeah,
the e-bike?
Yeah.
Okay, with the turbo function, is that something like that you can just put in on all the time, or is like a
oh,
like a
okay,
time
think
limit
of it
or
this
what?
Way, Dave.
That's a good question.
You have,
I don't know that.
You have X amount of battery. And it's on the main stem, and you watch, you know, how much battery you have. So if you really want to put it in turbo, at the highest gear, the highest help, the highest tailwind, you can use it till the battery runs out.
I'm sure it's going to drain your battery faster.
It'll drain your battery faster, and it kind of takes the fun out of it.
Yeah.
Kind of the fun is, man, this bike is heavy. I can't believe it. Oh, I can't make it up this. Oh, hello. And a tailwind helps you. It's kind of cool.
Have you come up with this version for swimming?
No.
A little motor, a little trolling motor on the back to give you a little push when you're in the pool, that might be a good thing as well.
I need pretty much help for speed in everything. So,
well,
yes,
I've heard,
that would be good.
I've heard from other people who have liked those e-bikes, so that's interesting feedback on that. So I'll like
and
to see where you're going to go with that
the
in the future.
Technology has really come a long way. It's super smooth. His was a specialized. And I'm sure there, because I've seen bikes that look like, you're like, well, that's an electric nightmare. But this one, you couldn't tell, except it was really thick, you know, on one of the
so
main bars.
It's not going to scream cheater if
Correct.
You're on a ride. Right. You can fake people out that you're not cheating. And I
yes.
completely
and it's not,
support
it's cheating,
that.
But it isn't. I don't know.
No, I mean, I think you made
purposes.
A good case for it.
There are uses for it. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, on the topic of competitive sports, Sue, you were gone last week. I had George Shea here. George Shea is the guy who is behind the Nathan's Famous hot dog eating contest. He's the marketing whiz behind it. He's the guy that does the calls. And he gave us a preview. And then I happened to tune in. Dave, did you tune in the other day? So Jaws, his record was 75. Joey Chestnut, he was an overwhelming favorite. He was minus 5,000. So if you bet 5,000, you could win $100.
Oh, wow.
Not worth it.
No, not a good bet. So he has the T-shirt on that says, I think it said personal best or personal record, 75. He got to 76. He did break the record, 10 minutes, 76 hot dogs.
That is disgusting. For,
it is disgusting. It is disgusting. And, you know, I have to say, yesterday I thought about Jaws a few times in the sense that he probably had an interesting Monday. I guess this was Monday because it was Sunday. But Monday might have been an interesting day for him just overall with digestion, right?
I just
wonder
how
the
long
after
you
effects.
Don't eat.
I don't know.
Something like that.
I really don't know. But you've got to figure that this man has it figured out, right?
Oh, yeah.
He knows what's up. He knows how to eat, when to eat. I don't understand.
Well, there's a lot of training, and that was one of the reasons I had George on, because they replayed the 30 for 30 on ESPN about the eating competitions and everything that went on with Kobayashi and the rivalry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was amazed because you kind of don't want to say this is a sport, but he was sitting there, Joey Chestnut was sitting there with this bag attached to his chin, and he was doing like exercises to lift it up and to work his jaw muscles. So I thought that
was
work
out for them.
That well, that was one way. I mean, he was doing things with his stomach.
Oh,
he was doing breathing exercise. It was very involved. I was surprised at how much was involved, but he takes it very seriously.
All right.
I want to move on to some other stuff as we get going here. And one story, Sue, I have to mention because this one is just so sad, and I saw it this morning. So I don't know if you reported on this, but this guy at 12:30 in the morning gets out of his truck because there's an accident on 270, and then the trucker ends up being killed. Did you cover that this morning? It's terrible story.
Not the details, but this was the closure of southbound 270 at Big Bend this morning, I assume.
Yeah, it says, so the car was heading south on I-270, uh-huh. And this is an area that, you know, Dave and I are very familiar with there.
Kirkwood.
When it ran off the highway to the left, the car hit a concrete median wall, then veered back onto the interstate where it was hit by Perry's southbound truck. So Perry left. He's the trucker. Spencer Perry is the trucker, right? Two women are in the car that he struck. He gets out of the truck to check on the women, and then this is where it gets really bad. He's killed.
Oh.
Not only is it sad that he's killed, and I don't want to minimize his death, but he's killed by a 17-year-old girl who's now probably, you know, in panic attack, and I can't even imagine how this is affecting her. Again, I'm not trying to minimize death of the trucker, but again, a lot of victims here, when you think about it, it's just a terrible thing.
Mark.
And, you know, the trooper is saying, look, I know the guy wanted to help and everything, but that is a very dangerous situation.
Did that happen in the 12 o'clock? It was like midnight or just before 1?
Yeah, it was 12:30
in the morning. And the highway was still closed this morning during rush hour until about 7. I mean,
well, because then it becomes a crime scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
They do all that stuff. So,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible story, and it's just one of those that made me very, very sad. Then there is our friend Andrew Cuomo. I have to talk about Andrew Cuomo here as we get started, because we have obviously a lot of crime here in St. Louis, and I've highlighted that crime for many, many years, especially in the aftermath of Mike Brown and Ferguson, because I think it's important, even though we say, and there are groups that have been organized around Black Lives Matter, I've always raised this question. Well, wait a second here. That's fine and all that, but what about the Black lives that are being lost every single day here in St. Louis to victims of crime? Or to criminals, really. But this is not a criminal problem, I'm told now, by the governor of New York. This is simply a gun problem, and it's on par with what happened last year with COVID. Now, Dave, you've been with me a long time, and you remember a year ago what I was doing when it came to the COVID numbers here in St. Louis, and I was doing it to illustrate a point. We were on pace, and it didn't end up happening, but I made a prediction last Memorial Day weekend when Lida Crewson freaked out about the Lake of the Ozarks pool party, even though in retrospect, we should have been encouraging people to go to pool parties last year, all of last year, mm-hmm. go out to the pool. And I said, look, there's a very good chance that the number of people killed in your city from violence will exceed the number of people dying from COVID. Now, that did not happen, but it was very close. And
Could have been a good bet, though.
When it came down to the wire, And I was trying to illustrate a point with that. People would say, well, don't you know the difference? Well, I know the difference, but does Andrew Cuomo know the difference? He does this big thing yesterday, now that he's been responsible for killing thousands of elderly people in nursing homes, he wants to attack the gun problem.
What did COVID do? It hit the communities hardest that had underlying conditions, that didn't have access to health care, that were predominantly Black and Brown communities. That's what COVID did. When it came to education and remote learning, it worked great for some students who had the equipment, who had the help at home. But for poorer students, Black students, Brown students, they were left behind during remote learning.
Governor, let me explain something, too, that I think most of the parents listening right now, and even some of the teachers listening right now, would tell you that is not actually what happened. Yes, were people in underprivileged areas, were they hit harder? Certainly they are. They're hit harder by a lot of things. But there were students in my daughter's district, in probably the Parkway district, in every district across the community that we have here that didn't do so well with remote learning. So this was not a black or brown issue. This was an issue of people like you, Democrats in particular, who wanted to lock down the schools, lock down the economy. You didn't want to look at the fact that kids were not getting this and they weren't spreading it. And you locked them out of school for an entire year, and you harmed their lives forever, probably. But Andrew Cuomo now wants to talk about gun violence in terms of racism.
2020, our issue was keeping people safe. And everyone agreed to it. Why? Because it was a matter of life and death. 2021, we're post-COVID. Knock wood, knock everything. We're post-COVID, but there's still low tide inequality. And it is still a matter of life and death. We went from one epidemic to another epidemic.
But why?
We went from COVID to the epidemic of gun violence and the fear and the death that goes along with it. It's been all over the newspapers. It is undeniable. It's so bad that when you look at the recent numbers, more people are dying of gun violence than of COVID.
I'm not sure why someone was starting to cheer that at the end of that, but he's right about that. And this isn't happening accidentally. It's happening because people like Andrew Cuomo and our new friend Cori Bush here in St. Louis and gutless politicians like Lyda Crewson, our former mayor, who wouldn't take a stand, and they cower to criminals. And that's what's happening in New York. This is so offensive when you hear Andrew Cuomo talk about some of these things. Like all of a sudden. No, violence has been raging cities across America for a long time. And I've talked about it here in St. Louis, certainly since what happened in Ferguson, because it's gotten worse each and every year. Is that because of guns? Well, Andrew Cuomo thinks it's just because of guns.
13 died of COVID over the July 4th weekend. And that was just the July 4th weekend. Somebody said to me on July 4th weekend, those weren't fireworks you were hearing. Those were gunfire that you were hearing. We're losing young people. We're losing them tragically. We're losing them needlessly. And gun violence and crime hurt all New Yorkers.
I've been saying what Governor Cuomo has said there for years, for 7 years now in the aftermath of Ferguson, that we're losing all these young African Americans. Now, he throws out some stats here, which I thought were interesting. Only because I've been repeating some of these same stats for a long time.
Shootings are up 38% in New York City over the first 6 months compared to 2020. Fact, gun violence discriminates. The way COVID discriminated, gun violence discriminates.
He's so full of absolute. This is where I wish I had the podcast where I can drop F-bombs and S-bombs, because it's unbelievable how much Andrew Cuomo is full of complete crap, especially after killing all the old people.
Shootings were up 38% in New York.
I messed that up because I didn't want to repeat that. Here we go.
Nationally, 59% non-white.
I don't want to miss this part here, and I'm trying a new audio system, Dave, and that was operator error because what I did is I pressed stop instead of pause. So you're probably wondering, hey, how did he skew that up?
Violence discriminates.
Here it is.
When you look among the victims of gun violence nationally, 59% non-white. New York State, 68% non-white. New York City, 77% non-white. Think about that. 77%. Black and brown.
He acts like this is some breaking news. Dave, you're my witness. I've been tracking this in St. Louis for years.
Oh, yeah.
I've gotten the homicide figures, which they didn't reveal the first 6 months of this year because they say they were changing this. I looked at the stats. I look at the suspects, the victims, 90%. 80% on the low end. 90% of the victims in St. Louis of gun violence are black. By the way, something that Andrew Cuomo won't tell you, 90% of the shooters are also black. Something to keep in mind. I know we're not allowed to say that anymore, but that's true.
Black people are 10 times more likely to be victims of gun violence than white people.
Why?
Latinos are 3.4 times more likely to be victims of gun violence than young people. Gun violence is a major civil rights issue today.
Oh, I just spit Diet Coke out of my nose on that
education.
One.
Education. yes, employment, yes, discrimination, but also gun violence. Gun violence is hitting the black and brown communities hardest, and it's compounding the damage from COVID.
I can't even believe that he is taken seriously at this point after what he did to all the nursing home patients in New York. But that's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear it from our mayor here, Tashara Jones. You hear that crap from Cori Bush. Look, if I, as a white person, I know I'm the worst person on the planet for being white. I was born white. I very much apologize. If I'm supposed to take on all the guilt of being white as a white American, maybe African Americans should take on some of the responsibility for what's happening in their neighborhoods.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A great story on hotair.com from our friend Jazz Shaw, who's going to come up in the next segment, about a very interesting transgender battle where there was a woman with a penis who went into a spa where there were kids, and the spa actually took the side of the transgender woman, and the whole thing is fascinating. So we'll get into that here in just a few minutes. I talk about the media a lot. I talk about media bias and what's happening in the so-called legacy media. Scott McKay is the publisher of The Hayride. He wrote a piece in the American Spectator about the glorious death of the American legacy media and what might happen next. Scott, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk. How are you? Oh, I don't think I have him. Hang on. Sometimes we don't punch him in properly, so I'm not sure what happens, though. See if we got you. There you go. How are you, Scott?
Hey, thanks for having me, and congrats on that bump music. Talk about awesome. I love that song.
We got to love the Black Pumas, absolutely. They're coming to St. Louis pretty soon as well. So I love some of the things you highlighted in here, and we've been talking about some of this stuff as well here at 97.1. When it comes to the cable viewing, Trump was helping pretty much everyone. You highlighted the case of Chris Hayes on MSNBC, who has very few viewers left, doesn't he? But you wouldn't know that.
Chris Hayes gets promoted far beyond the size of his audience or the quality of his show. That's true of Brian Stelter as well, who's somebody that, like, nobody should even know who he is. and yet he's everywhere, and it doesn't produce an audience, which should tell you something.
All right, so perfect example of that. Let's look at some of the numbers here. In CNN, it's been documented they've lost almost 70% of their viewership in the past 6 months. So Stelter has an audience of 786,000. Tucker Carlson, 2.8 million viewers at the same time. That's not even moderately close.
Right. Right. It's an order of magnitude more. And Carlson is the least like the legacy media of really anybody on cable news. And I think his success is directly, generated from that fact. I mean, he's something different. The rest of these guys, it's all the same thing, and nobody's really paying attention anymore because they've seen it and they don't believe it.
All right, so that's really the question. What is the takeaway? I've highlighted polls. I'm sure that you have too. Everybody knows that the trust in media is about at the lowest point that it's ever been, understandably so, when you see the way that some of these stories are manipulated and manufactured. Even this week with the Hannah Nicole Jones story and, the tenure, where they leave out all the details. So for the most part, and I don't know how this affects the left, because people on the right don't trust the legacy media, although they'll watch Fox. Where are the people from the left going if they're not watching MSNBC?
Well, my guess is it's probably a lot of podcasts and, sort of more new journalism. I mean, you're seeing an explosion of stuff on Substack and Patreon and even on YouTube and some other places like that, where you've got some people who maybe made a name within the legacy media but have jettisoned out of there and are doing their own thing and, just basically charging a subscription to a Substack blog. Glenn Greenwald being a really, really good example of that, and somebody's been fairly successful of, doing it. But there's a lot of folks like that who, have simply just gotten away from corporate legacy media and are actually attracting an audience as independent journalists and independent publishers.
Yeah, by the way, there's some irony with Glenn Greenwald, because he's doing this thing where he is highlighting the reckless nature of whatever might be considered journalism in the legacy media. And he offered, I did this story a couple of days ago, a great takedown of the media when it comes to the Pulse nightclub situation, because you had most people don't know this because it was sort of buried and didn't get a lot of publicity. A couple of Fridays ago, Joe Biden highlighted the site of the Pulse nightclub is now a national memorial, even though there's overwhelming evidence that the legacy media doesn't want to touch, that shows that it was not motivated by any kind of hatred toward LGBTQ community. But it didn't matter, because once the narrative takes hold, Scott, there's no breaking that up.
Right. And it's almost to the point where you can tell how false the narrative is by how vigorously it's pursued. The more of this that gets asserted, particularly in the very beginning of whatever the news story is, the more likely it is that as the facts come out, that narrative is going to be, just flat out totally untrue.
Well, here's an example from where I sit right now. Hands up, don't
shoot. It
happens
all the time.
Yeah, hands up, don't shoot is a perfect example of that. Never happened, took off, today. Even today, people think it still happened to Mike Brown. But you think, Scott, let's address this, because you're making the case this is not a bad thing that the legacy media is losing this viewership, right?
Well, put it this way. In the circumstances where we're in, right, it's a bad thing that awful journalism that's based on untruth is being rejected by the public, right? Because otherwise, what you have is a really scary situation, which is that everybody believes a bunch of big lies. It's nice to see people recognize that they're being lied to and tuning out as a result, or giving up their subscription to the newspaper or whatever it might be, but they're rejecting the outlets that are pushing things that are clearly untrue. And not only that, they're rejecting outlets pushing things that are offensive to normal Americans as well, which in the case of whether it's transgender advocacy or critical race theory or even climate change stuff or any of this other.
All those things, right, yeah.
Yeah, basically the building blocks of the current Democrat Party's agenda are all things that are you know, 70, 30 issues the public generally rejects. And yet they are catechisms of modern, you know, legacy corporate media. And, you know, so you just can't keep pushing things on folks that they don't believe as though they're, you know, incontrovertible. Eventually people are going to like be like, I'm done with you.
Yeah, well, it seems that way.
I think you see that.
Yeah, I think you see it too. But here's what's going to be interesting. Scott McKay is with us, and he wrote about this in the American Spectator. And I got to go out here with some Black Pumas again for you. But I think it's going to be interesting because, look, I work in a ratings-based industry. And if the audience isn't there, I don't have a job. This is typically what happens in television. If they keep bleeding numbers like this, they're going to have to make some changes because the advertisers won't be there in the future. So that raises some interesting questions too, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, where is the revenue going to come from? Because the big corporations that are bankrolling this eventually are going to be under some financial pressure themselves. And then, you know, that's when the massacre really happens in the newsroom.
Yeah, I look forward to that day coming. Scott McKay, thanks for coming on in St. Louis this afternoon. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I rarely give Carl credit, but that was a pretty good line. I like that. Sue's News returns in the next hour with, get this, this is crazy, with Sue herself for the first time in a week. And we're glad to have you back.
Hey, thanks for that. By the way, I wanted to mention this, that we have this serious accident eastbound 70 near Wentzville Parkway, and the highway is closed, traffic squeezing by in the shoulder, and it is pouring rain right now. 6440 at Long Road, there's a stray shower moving through the area. So just be careful out there. I mean, you can barely see kind of rain.
We have clouds downtown now. The sun has gone away, but yeah, I guess we got some pop-up showers in the area, so be careful, be on the lookout for that. We'll keep you posted. Jazz Shaw is with us from hotair.com, and Jazz, great to have you back. I set this up in the last break. It sounds almost like a joke, right? A woman with a penis walks into a salon and there are kids present. And that's what happened in this particular case. You wrote about it on Hot Air. This one's kind of interesting. It's very nuanced, I think.
If you want to use the word nuanced, sure. I don't personally find it terribly nuanced.
Well, I
also don't think it's a woman with a penis. I think it's a person with a penis. And isn't that what the debate comes down to in the end?
Yeah.
Are the courts ever going to actually have to address, you know, who's a man, who's a woman? Do you just get to flip a coin and decide?
Well, give the background of this. I guess I think it's nuanced in the sense that, to me, this sounds a bit like a setup, and I think they were looking for attention, which also happens in these cases. But what happened in this particular case? This was in Los Angeles, right?
Right. And in the Koreatown section, there's a very popular spa, and the spa makes it very clear, which maybe made them susceptible to some sort of a setup, that, you know, if you're not comfortable being naked, don't come here. And we have segregated facilities, and the women go to one side. And girls, you know, they allow children, and the men and boys go to the other side. And someone who identified is the word I guess we use now.
Yes, I guess.
As being transgender, went in and undressed in front of a woman and her two daughters, a person who obviously had a penis and testicles, and they found that very traumatizing. And the response from the spa is kind of the response that we get from the California government, where it's like, well, if you're not prepared to see women with penises, then you probably should stay home and not go to naked spaces. So this tiny percentage of the population, whatever you think about those definitions, is now going to dictate to everybody else whether or not you should be able to go out and go to a spa.
I guess that's where we are right now. You included a quote from a guy by the name of James Joyner. And here's what he said of outside the Beltway. And I'll read this because you responded, but I want to get your response and people should hear this. The overwhelming percentage of the population has genitalia that conforms to their gender identity. And most people would prefer not to be naked in the presence of strangers with different genitalia. I think that's an important point. There's a reason, after all, that we gender segregate restrooms, showers, and spas. At the same time, transgender individuals face an enormous amount of trauma. A trans woman would certainly feel unsafe in a men's locker room or spa, particularly if she's partly transitioned. We'll kind of circle back to that in a second. I honestly don't know what the answer is here, but telling the overwhelming majority of women that if they don't like seeing strange penises at the spa or locker rooms, they should refrain from going out in public is not it. Now, he raises a good point because you have to have a little bit of understanding. If you have a trans woman that would feel unsafe, as he said, in a men's locker room, that is a particular situation. But this is someone who supports those rights that still says, look, this is not the way to push this agenda forward, but that's exactly what's happening.
Well, I agree with James on that point, but I do think the courts have yet to address a more important underlying point. And up until very recently, and I'm speaking recently in the history of medical science, there have been a number of mental disorders that have been identified of people that very possibly, you know, very likely, they believe things that are inherently not true and not provable under science. I listed a couple of them. There are people who honestly believe that they are werewolves. There are people who honestly believe that they are dead, that they are zombies walking among the living. There's no medical science to support any of that. And they don't get the benefit of the doubt if you are somebody who suffers from what's called clinical lycanthropy. You don't get to just show up at an animal shelter and go, okay, you have to take care of me because I'm a dog. You know, when you're clearly not a dog.
All right, so just because you might like clinical lycanthropy, that's when you think you're a dog?
It's when you think you're a were-animal, where you think you're someone who could be a werewolf or a werecat. I guess there's a few different classifications of it.
All right.
The other one is Cotard syndrome, where you believe that you're dead, but you're still up and walking around. You believe you are literally a zombie. And if we're going to follow all the current laws of the United States, if you honestly believe that you're dead, you shouldn't have to pay taxes. You shouldn't have to abide by any laws, really, because you're dead. You know, we don't make those accommodations for those people. But now we're at the point where certain segments of the AMA, although not some other large professional medical groups, have turned around and said, well, we should accommodate these people. Well, we don't accommodate other people that accept what are clearly delusional things that are not supported by medical science. You know, we know what differentiates the genders. We have the DNA. You know, if you have an X and a Y chromosome, you're one. If you have two X chromosomes, you're the other.
I'm told to follow the science, right? I think you're told that too. So following the science, that sort of adds up, right?
It's very important to follow the science unless the science disagrees with what liberals want to talk about. Yeah.
Right, right. Exactly right. So I don't know. You know, I don't know what the end game is for some of the stuff because you're going to have more cases like this. I think what you reported, or maybe I clicked on the link from the LA Times, but the spa, they took the side of the woman with the penis, right?
Yes, yes, they did. And my gut reaction initially as a small government conservative is like, well, you know, we should just let the free market decide this, because if you post that as your policy and there's another spa that's not going to say, oh, you have to go into a changing room and whatnot with a quote woman with a penis, then you might get a lot more traffic there. But the free market doesn't get to decide this because California's already passed a law saying, oh, you can't quote discriminate against people like that, even when we're talking about something that flies in the face of thousands of years of medical science.
It's because you can't, you're not allowed to use common sense and follow the science because they passed a wacky law.
Cutting off the free market in this place.
It just makes, it's infuriating. And it also, by the way, and I know that you live in New York State. I live in a state where this nonsense doesn't rear its ugly head very often in Missouri. Now, we're made fun of, we're mocked because we're backwards and just stupid and all that stuff. But I have to tell you, even, you know, Illinois is across the river and they get into some of this stuff over there that Missouri never has to deal with. Jazz, so I'm very grateful about that. Great piece this morning in Hot Air. Glad to have you on this afternoon. Hope you had a great 4th of July. We'll talk soon.
Take care, my friend.
Jazz, one of the great pundits and columnists and bloggers, I guess you would say, over at hotair.com, a great site. Check it out. 355 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.